The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are back, and I assume you can hear me because I hear nothing. So I'm just going to keep talking. And normally this time of year, we go down to the streets of Skid Row with our brother, Reverend Andy Bales. And it just so happens our very own David James is down there as well right now with Andy and David. And Andy, it's all yours. God bless you both. We love you.
Hey, Frank, we love you, and thank you for the dedication and passion you have for all you do to bring everyone back in every issue that's going on that you talk about. You bring them back to the gospel. And, you know, ironically, that's why you and Andy have such kindred spirits. And I think because of that, we all have kindred spirits with Andy. It's a, as a Jesus follower, that faith is inside everything we do in life, everything we do. And Thanksgiving, when it comes to the homeless, I mean, KKLA family, we see the homeless everywhere. And I pray that we don't go, oh, not another homeless person. I mean, there's a story behind the homelessness. And none other is better at telling that story than the Reverend Andy Bales, the Union Rescue Mission. And this is where we are. We were talking earlier, Warren Duffy, Frank Pastore, Frank Sontag, and now you're truly having an opportunity to be with Andy. The turkey frying happening, the 129th year that the cooking used to be baking the turkey. Now it's deep frying the turkeys. 129 years of history?
Yes, not 129 years of deep frying, but I can tell you that 129 years ago, Union Rescue Mission had about seven churches gather for a Thanksgiving celebration, and they took an exit offering. I guess they used the phrase exit offering way back then, and the money they raised, they put toward a gospel wagon that Major George Hilton took out on the streets with a group of volunteers, and they went out in front of the bars in L.A. and out to the camps of homeless people, and they began to preach the gospel. And as they preached the gospel, people would come out of the bars, hear the gospel, turn their lives to Christ, get on the wagon and share their story. And if they ever slipped and drank again, of course, they fell off the wagon. But that's how we started, a gospel wagon going out on the streets. And as traffic with cars began to interrupt, then we had to get rid of the wagon. It was also that all the bars in L.A., gathered together and went to City Hall and complained about their lack of business because the gospel wagon was interfering with their business. So we were getting in trouble with the city way back even in 1907.
Way back then, even the city having issues with URM because, hey, you're taking business from the bars. And you guys, you know, URM's going, hallelujah, God.
Yeah. And
there's a revival about ready to begin.
Now there was a group of bars that had been very generous. I think they've run into real trouble with COVID-19. But they were actually raising money. I think it was the local 213 group was raising money for our recovery program at Union Rescue Mission. So times have changed in many ways, and times have stayed the same.
You know, it's always wonderful to get a history lesson. We need to know that because that's how we know roots. And I want to camp there just a second because we're frying 300 turkeys here, Union Rescue Mission, getting ready for Thanksgiving. But of those 129 Thanksgiving, this being the 129th, do we even have an idea as to how many people have had hope for a Thanksgiving meal? I mean, you think about that. That is a lot of hope being distributed.
Can somebody else help with the math? Let's take 129 let's say 3,000. What, 400,000?
400,000.
Is that all it is?
Yeah. 300, it's a little more. It's 387,000, but we can round that up.
All right.
If you're getting problems with the government that 128 years ago, we can round up just like they do.
So that's 387,000 just on Thanksgiving Day. That translates to millions of meals every day for the last 129 years.
And remember, we're talking those hopeless on the streets, and we were talking off mic, just you know, reminiscing and talking and encouraging each other to be faithful in all pursuits that we do in God, secular and sacred. I mean, we just let God dictate what we do, secular and sacred. And you were talking about how you and your rescue mission has because people like us in a KKLA family has invested. There's moms, there's young adults now, and then through the 128 years of history where when they had nothing, they came to Union Rescue Mission. They found everything in God and turned their life around. And it's not just about the turkeys being fried. It's about the opportunity that that meal unlocks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just the meal. It's the moment somebody comes in and feels the love of Christ and has kind of an awakening of, I can give life another try. You know, no matter what's happened in my life, I can give life one more try. And sometimes that's a pivotal moment, and we're there to catch them. And God uses us not only at Thanksgiving, but every day. And just to give you an idea, 25% of our staff are former guests who came to Union Rescue Mission and had their lives totally transformed by Christ.
25%. That's again, it's legacy building. When we invest in Union Rescue Mission, it's investing in souls on the street. And this year, Andy, COVID-19 and 2020 has just been
It's been the toughest year of my career, 34-year career of serving people devastated by homelessness. And I believe it's the toughest year we can find in our 129 years. We went through the Spanish flu, right, in 1918. Our history, and we have an extensive history, doesn't even talk about that being so disruptive. We went through the Great Depression. Well, our Great Recession that we also went through was worse than what happened to Union Rescue Mission during the Great Depression. Even went through World War II, where mostly Union Rescue Mission served soldiers because on their leave, because about everybody who was able went to fight in the war. So there weren't very many people on the streets. We've been through some very tough times at Union Rescue Mission. We've never been through something like this where it was, you know, we lost a team member, Gerald, I talked about, our beloved team member. We had two older guys, frail and elderly, that we asked the county to move into private lodging. Well, guess what? We moved them out to get them out of harm's way. COVID-19 caught up with them and killed them in their private lodging by the county. So we lost one team member, two guests, and have had 143 cases. And we have some young teammates who still can't taste or smell and still have aches and still are losing some hair. And perhaps that's from COVID or perhaps that's from the stress of this time. And that's what I've really noticed this week. It's holiday time. People are under stress from that. Can't celebrate holidays like they normally can. And everybody's a little bit off kilter, a little bit off tilt, including me. So I was sharing, I've got some pain in my foot. I'm gonna probably lose my left foot too. And I'm in my wheelchair because when I wear my right leg, I can walk on it, but I suffer a lot of pain in my left foot. So in order not to be grumpy, I'm trying to manage my pain.
Andy, you talk about that, and here you are. I mean, I just want to talk a little bit about that because a regular person might just go, just phone it in, just go, you know what, enough. I have enough to deal with. I have my own problems. I don't need to be dealing with this anymore. You know, I'll pass this torch on to somebody else. Yet, here you are, and we have some incredible souls outside, and 300 turkeys are being deep fried and going to be prepared for Thanksgiving. Here you are still helping orchestrate that. What motivates you? And pivot that back to everybody listening right now, because we all have issues. 2020 has not, I mean, everyone's not, no one's immune. Everybody has had issues. So pivot that back. But what, here you are, you're not having a pity party. you've got you, and no one would say, by the way, well, Andy, you know, he's having pity, but not at all. You've had some major health issues, yet here you are, and the homeless, you have at the core of making an impact.
Yeah, I'm driven to do what I do. I'm haunted by homelessness. Imagine being haunted by homelessness in a city where there are 50,000 people suffering the devastation of homelessness on the streets. 4 people per day are dying of complications of homelessness. So I'm haunted by homelessness in a city that is overwhelmed by homelessness. But I think you may have heard the story when I should have naturally come by this desire to help people devastated by homelessness. My dad was devastated by homelessness from ages 4 to 17. His family would pack up in Des Moines, jump on a freight car, travel out to California where the grass was greener and everything would be okay, except that they brought their problems along with them on the train. And when they got here and there was alcohol, there was violence, there was a family breakup. And my dad was off and on homeless from the ages of 4 to 17. Well, he made a comeback story. Great man, best man I've ever met, and successful business person, godly church person. But his last week on the face of the earth, all he could talk about was the devastation of being that homeless kid, that shame and embarrassment and pain of being that kid at school who was homeless, and the cruelty of others. So I should have come by this naturally, but I didn't. It took a child in a class being picked on in my Christian classroom. And at the time I said, don't pick on this anybody in my classroom. Don't say those things to somebody in my classroom. But as the kids went home that night, I thought to myself, if a youngster feels like a loser, can't find love in a Christian classroom, where in this tough world are they going to find it? So I studied the scriptures and I came across Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 and following. And it says, at the end of time, Jesus and his angels are going to return, and he's going to gather the nations together, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And to the sheep, he's going to say, come, take your inheritance prepared for you since the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you fed me, and when I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and when I was naked, you clothed me, and when I was sick and in prison, you came to visit me, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And they're going to say, Lord, when did we ever do that to you? And he's going to say, whenever you did it to the least of these, my brethren, whenever you did it to the losers of the world, that was my translation to the kids, you did it unto me. So I shared with the kids that day 6 times. They didn't just hear it once. I shared every class. They heard it once. I heard it 6 times. I said, if you feed somebody who's hungry, it's like feeding Jesus himself. If you give drink to a thirsty person, theologians say I stretched it, but I said, I believe the way you treat another human being is the way that you're treating God himself. The worst thing you can do to a parent is mistreat their child. I believe that if you say a hurting word to an already hurting person, it's like saying a hurting word to Jesus himself. So I preached that message 6 times to the kids. That was on Friday. On Sunday, I was downtown at my second job, 38 hours on the weekend, working at the parking ramp, high-rise parking ramp. I'm the guy taking your tickets and your money in the booth. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, knock on the window by a man, missing his teeth, long dirty beard, sack of soda pop can slung over his shoulder. I could tell he was a homeless person. And he said, sir, can I have your sandwich? And of course, Dave, after preaching that message 6 times about how important it is to feed somebody, it's like feeding Jesus himself, I answered and I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I need my sandwich. And his face drooped with disappointment. He disappeared into the darkness and into the snow. And I realized, Andy, you preached something 6 times to the kids on Friday, and when you got your chance, you missed your chance. So I hoped and prayed for another chance. I found him a few weeks later on the street, and I fed him. And a few weeks after that, my missions pastor at my church, never hearing the story, he said, Andy, there's an opening down at the mission. I think you should go apply. And so I reluctantly went to the mission, thinking I'd never be heard from again. But I walked in. The guys were sober. The food was great. The place was clean. And I saw it as a chance to practice what I preach. But something different happened to me, too. My heart changed. Like, I used to look through people digging out of the dumpster, and I wouldn't feel their pain at all. I would look through them. I think some of us could relate to that. I just looked through another human being digging through a dumpster, and I would look through them because I don't know if I couldn't take the pain or if I didn't want to feel their pain, but I can't bear to look at somebody devastated by homelessness now without totally empathizing with them, feeling their pain. I'm haunted by the thought of another human being suffering on the streets. So I'm driven to do this. It's going to take much more than, you know, a heart attack or a kidney failure or a kidney transplant or losing my right leg or losing my right and left leg. It's going to take much more than that to stop me from doing what I know God has called me to do.
Frank, we're talking to the Reverend Andy Bales here at Union Rescue Mission, KKLA Families, David James. We're talking about the story of Reverend Andy Bales, and I asked him the question of why he does this, even in the midst of all of the ailments he's had, and asked him to pivot that back to all of us, because we've been through extraordinary times. We continue to be in extraordinary times. And what?
It makes us stronger. I heard Chuck Swindoll the other day on KKLA talking about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and he was sent away to the Gulag prison, the cold, where rats don't even survive the cold. And because he didn't know God when he was sent away, and he found God in that tough time, he was thankful for being sent away to that horrible prison, because it brought him closer to God.
You know, and who knows, if this may be, and I pray that all of us, and I've said over and over again, and Frank has, and all of us at KKLA, really, we say, God, allow us to come out of this stronger for you. That make that the impact. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, when it comes to showing kindness, I used to think that, you know, oh, man, when Jesus said, you know, be of the world but not of it and be set apart, I thought, oh, well, man, that's tough. No, just showing some kindness these days and some gentleness and compassion and maybe a little self-control, that kind of does it. So here we are, Thanksgiving, 300 turkeys being prepared today. What would you say to the KKLA family in that pursuit of kindness, and how they would take that back and say, you know what, let's show hope through that meal, and watch, as we've seen, 387,000, we just heard, have come through Thanksgiving alone over a 128-year period, that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus feeding them, and then the hope, the legacy that's being instilled in every one of these that come through URM's doors.
Well, mostly I have to say thank you, because you were on that Zoom call I did with some seven of our donors, and those seven of our donors say, I listen to Frank all the time. I listen to KKLA all the time. So they listen to Frank's show. They listen to you, Big Wave Dave, and they listen to Amazing Stories from Skid Row on 9:30 p.m. Every night on KKLA. So mostly I say thank you, because it's those very supporters, those very listeners, who are our biggest supporters of Union Rescue Mission. We don't receive any city money, any state money, any county money, any federal money because of our faith, and we rely completely on private, mostly Christian donors who make a way for us to open up our house and cook, deep fry 300 turkeys and invite people in and have enough resources to not only provide the meal and all the trimming and all the pie, but also a brand new Bible for everybody who comes to our Thanksgiving meal. Totally different this year. We've totally adjusted, but more than ever, we're thankful for the good health that God's given us and the grace he's given us and the opportunity to be his hands and feet here at the mission. And it's only made possible by our wonderful partners.
URM.org, and this Thanksgiving, open your hearts, open your pocketbook, pray for the homeless that are going to be served here, and that God stir and move in their hearts, that they be set free, the emotional, physical, spiritual, of course, absolutely, and the mental anguish that's there. So URM.org, Andy, thank you for being such a hero to thousands here on Skid Row, and being Jesus to those that you come in contact with, and thank you for being part of our KKLA family.
Thank you. It's been an honor to have you here, and you're a hero of mine every day, and the way you share the gospel on to so many right? So keep up the great work.
Thank you, Andy. And Frank, wish you were here. It smells like Thanksgiving a billion times over with all the turkeys being fried. It is fantastic. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone. From Union Rescue Mission, go to urm.org and gift lavishly to serve truly those disenfranchised here in Southern California. This being the Frank Sontag Show on 99.5 KKLA.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. Thank you again to the Reverend Andy Bales, everybody at URM, and David James for stepping in and broadcasting live from down there. Again, KKLA family, please consider supporting the Union Rescue Mission. The best way you can do that is just simply to go to their website, urm.org, urm.org. And please bless those that bless so many of the lost and downtrodden. I have emails, I have articles, I have prayers, I have a whole lot to do in 30-some minutes, so let's get to it, shall we? By the way, phone lines are wide open to you. 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. By the way, one of the questions I hope to get into sometime this hour, or actually the 30 minutes we have, how much do you value your freedom? How far would you be willing to travel? We'll get into that as well. All right. Gavin Newsom, as you know, has issued another decree. We're in purple, 41 of the 58 counties. And yet, chief law enforcement officers say they're not going to enforce any of this stuff. And the list is growing. El Dorado County Sheriff, Sacramento County Sheriff, which is where Gavin Newsom actually lives, Ventura County Lead Sheriff, and Orange County, well, whose name is Don Barnes, all say, nope, we're not going to enforce any of the curfew orders. Maybe the tide is turning. I don't know. But I just, I think people have had enough. That doesn't mean we are to be stupid, obviously. But it just seems to me that 8 months into this, anyone with a bit of logic, it's about protecting the vulnerable, make wise decisions. But the hypocrisy, and I'm going to pray in a little while about that and much more, has to be exposed and pushed back on. And for me, this governor has lost any credibility that he has had up until now, which has been, in my view, not much. With this latest shenanigan and little birthday party, and oh, I got caught in a lie, so I'm sorry. And then there's more lies after the fact. Speaking of lies, story that broke earlier today from last night. The state of Pennsylvania is looking into allegations about the Dominion voting systems. If you haven't heard this one, in the words of Representative Seth Grove, quote, the members of the state government committee were looking forward to publicly addressing the plethora of accusations of Dominion voting systems in a format which would have allowed open and honest dialogue. I was impressed at what appeared to be the willingness of Dominion to address accusations. Unfortunately, late last night, Dominion Voting Systems lawyered up and backed out of their commitment. Grove said instead of running toward the light of honesty and integrity, they retreated to the darkness. Why? Why would a vendor of public goods fear discussing their products sold to the public for the public good? If Dominion's products were successful and operated as they were supposed to, why wouldn't they take the opportunity to publicly review its success? How hard is it to say our ballot machines worked exactly as promised? They're 100% accurate, end quote. Maybe, just maybe, because it was a sworn deposition, maybe they got a little conscience going and go, well, I don't know if I could say that in good conscience, that it's all good. We will see. Got an email from a listener a little while ago, and I think he's listening now. I addressed it in the previous hour. Let me jump on, be very brief. I do want to try to cover a lot of ground here. We have open lines, by the way. 888-528-2557. Whether it's the story I just read about Pennsylvania or Sidney Powell coming forward and saying today, within 2 weeks, all of this will be addressed in the courts. An email from listener Ron. Just wanted to send you an email. I listen every day on the way home. But I want to ask you, why are the voters for the president still persistent on him winning? I know you're one of them, Frank. If there's no voter fraud and no evidence of that, why are we all still not giving up? Can't we just be more of a Christian, let it go, let God deal with the situation so we Christians can move on with helping others come to Christ, especially in these trying times? And there's more. First of all, depending on who you listen to, read, watch, it's the mainstream, oh, it's over. What are they doing? There's no evidence. Hey, AP announced we've got the new regime? Here's the point. We live in still a country of laws. The media doesn't have the power to declare who wins or who doesn't. It's up to the courts. The media is slanted, if you don't know that by now, Ron. So you're going to be hearing over and over, it's done. What are there crybabies? Give up. There's no evidence. We'll see. The states are the only ones that have the power to certify. That happens in a couple of weeks, and let's see. If you've got nothing to hide, why would Dominion bail on a meeting today? Maybe a perfectly legitimate reason. I don't know. But if we stand for law, if we stand for the idea of voting, fair elections, you would think, let all of the information come forward, and then we go from there. Versus this mocking and this, ugh. What do we have to say? It's all been done. You know, this guy, we know who he is. No, you don't. You've never met him. You've never spent any time with him. And I'll leave that at that. That's one response. I've got another email I want to respond to. 888-528-2557. How about this email? My men's ministry sent out a blast email earlier today to our mailing list about my book. We're gonna let those that want to pick up a copy of my book at a extremely discounted price through our ministry and our mailing list. And I get this response. Am I still able to be a part of your ministry because I voted for Joe Biden? You got a brother on pause. When it comes to your words, you sound like an undercover bigot. I love you, brother, but you're wrong on so many levels. Hopefully we can chat one day. God bless you. We met at such and such a church a couple years ago. I don't know, brother. You got me on pause. I'll be praying for you. You have yourself on pause. I don't have that kind of power. And to be contextually correct and biblically accurate, what I said recently was, if you voted for Joe Biden and profess to be a follower of Christ, you're affirming abortion. You're affirming the killing of the unborn. And if you want to disagree, if you want to go from the womb to the tomb and all the other rhetoric, well, let's start with the womb. Let's at least be honest here. So pray for me as I pray for you. I did respond to the email. But I got you on pause. No, what I have you on is you're struggling with the truth that I'm sharing. And you got your hands over your ears, your eyes covered. You don't want to know. For some reason, there's a deception, a spirit of deception that's very prominent right now. Again, if you would say, I'm a follower of Christ and when it comes to abortion, I struggle with it, but if you're more articulate and more specific and succinct in your beliefs, that's a different story. But you can't argue with truth. The Biden-Harris administration is on record, very pro-abortion, third trimester abortions. They've even announced in their new incarnation, if indeed they are acknowledged as the new administration, they're going to overturn all the pro-life legislation that's been passed over the last few years. And how do you square that? How do you square that if you say you're a follower of Christ? If anything, I would hope that you go from I have you on pause to you take pause and really spend time in prayer and ask God, am I right with you in that position? And that is between you and him. Look at all the calls on the screen. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let me take a call or two, then we'll break. I'm going to pray at the end of the hour, so please stay with me. Flacco in Santa Ana. Flacco, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. Good to talk to you again. You know, I was listening, and I heard those emails. Ridiculous. I don't know how you can deal with it, but it's through the Lord's strength that gives you going. The prayer that you said, it was so right on. I was praying along with my wife while you were praying. That's the way we come boldly to the kingdom, the throne of God, praying like that. God's hand's going to move, and I believe fraud and all the cheating and lying is going to be exposed. And that's what I pray along with you and with all my brothers and sisters in Christ out there. Thank you so much for being a voice for all of us. There's many of us out there that feel just like you do. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Flacco. Keep praying. We all need to pray without ceasing on this. By the way, one minor note, minor in terms of the amount of time we have, not minor in terms of the actual legitimacy of the issue. Freedom is talked about these days. And some people say, well, you know, we need to love everybody and maybe give up a little of our freedoms for the safety of others. How far would you travel for freedom? The freedom that clearly is being impaired and the overreach of the government right now. And people are just willing to go, okay, I give up. 17-year-old Sookyung Kang took a 3,000-mile journey from North Korea to freedom because she wanted to worship God. 3,000 miles. Christian, do you value your freedom? It's being taken away because you're letting it being taken away. 3,000 miles. 888-528-2557. I want to break a tad early. I want to come back and pray, read an email, share some other thoughts, information. Maybe we'll take some more phone calls. So please stay with us. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. A couple of stories, and then we're going to close in prayer. Over 170 people have been charged in recent months as part of a two-year investigation uncovering a sex trafficking network in Florida that has led to an unprecedented number of arrests. Charges range from solicitation of prostitution to human trafficking of a minor. According to the department, 106 suspects were charged with felonies, 72 face misdemeanor charges, 18 face federal charges. What do we do about this? As followers of Christ, do we just say, well, let go and let God? This idea of what we do against evil as the corporate body of Christ. Listen to this email. Listener Garth writes, many Christians just say God is still on the throne. What a cop-out. Of course he is. But he also calls us to pray fervently. What if in his sovereignty he gives us the modern equivalents to wicked King Ahab and Jezebel because we did not fight the forces of evil in prayer? We are commanded to hate evil. It's true that we don't know all of God's plans, but it's the lack of faith that keeps us from obeying the commands to pray, like the woman in Luke 18, who wore the judge down with her constant request for justice, such that he granted her request. verses 7 and 8. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Garth says, I say no more cop-outs. Get on your knees and fight like a man. I want to pray. It's not going to be one of those prayers where repeat after me and you say what I say and then we all say in Jesus' name. This is one where you got to just open up and pray. And if you sense God resonating in you, you just go with it. And just cry out to him, because I'll tell you, God is just, I believe, waiting on us in so many ways. Obviously, he can just move anytime he wants, but where is the church body? As Garth said, are we praying and crying out to him to expose and silence every false witness who utters lies and operates in deceit? Father God, we ask you, thwart those efforts of every person who attempts to stir any conflict that's not of you, whether it's in the community, in our churches, in our state, in our country. Expose all their wickedness intended to steal, kill, and destroy. The book of Daniel says that you will reveal deep and hidden things. You know what lies in darkness. Light dwells with you. You are light. Please bring that very light to expose every lie, every deceit, every deception, every misrepresentation, and every illegal act, Father. We cry out to you. Frustrate those who seek to steal and who are liars. Father, frustrate the plotting of the shrewd so their hands can't perform whatever they're trying to do that's against you. Thwart the plans of those that attempt to sabotage. Father, please capture the wise by their own shrewdness. Evil is undeniable right now, and my fear, which may not be accurate, but my fear is the body of Christ, we're asleep. You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells in you. You're a great God. You're a perfect God. Please hear our prayers. The boastful, according to your word, shall stand before you. You hate all who do iniquity. You hate it, Father, and we tolerate it. Forgive us. And in your word, by the Holy Bible, there are many that say they're Christian, and they don't believe your truth when it says in the very word, Father, destroy those who speak falsehood. Destroy them. Well, that's not the God I follow. Hold them guilty by their own devices. Let them fall. Father, in the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they're rebellious against you. And we say no. And forgive us, because so many of us, we don't even have the true love for you above all, the greatest commandment. We love ourselves more than anything. Forgive us. We're our own gods. We believe our own idolatry. And I'm crying out with you, with whoever is listening right now, forgive us. You are the king. You are the only answer in this life. And please, God, don't hear our prayers. You're the God of the universe. You don't listen to things like, oh, please give us 4 more years of Donald Trump, and he's the answer. He is not the answer. You're waiting on your church. We cry out to you, no more. Hold them guilty. May they stumble in their own evil lies. Expose the corruption. For those that are speaking out, that are risking their lives, Father, protect them. Put a hedge of protection around their family. Silence the liars. Silence the bullies. We cry out to you, Lord. We cry out for supernatural strength and wisdom and discernment. Where is our discernment, Father? We believe the evil one. We live in a time where good is called evil, evil is called good. Forgive us. That is on us, Father. And we fall to our knees, as Garth said, forgive us. We repent. Lord, we need you now. This is not just about the country. This is about the entire world. I believe you want to reign your kingdom on the world. And obviously, you don't need us to do that. But you love us so much that you paid the ultimate sacrifice, and we're crying out to you now, forgive us. We've been blind. We've been selfish. We've been ignorant. We've been sinful. We've been prideful. But we know, again, wickedness, evil, darkness reigns, and it's gone unabated. I pray that's not your will. I pray you haven't taken your hand off of us. I don't believe you have. I believe you're a righteous, grace-filled, merciful God. And Father, for me to share with you that I am so tired of watching evil go unaddressed, where there's no accountability, Father, move. By your righteousness and the laws that you state are indeed those laws that are righteous by the book of God, by your book. Silence the enemy's mouth. Expose all the lies. Rip the scales from our eyes so we can go, oh my God, where have I been? I've bought the lie. Father, forgive me. And we petition this to you. Your will be done ultimately, whatever it is, here in this place we call earth and on in heaven as well. We submit this to you, Lord. There are thousands of us listening right now. Please hear our prayers. Father, we need you. We love you. And we pray this in the almighty, precious name, in the name above all names, the only name. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just pray, those of you listening now in this audience, that you will be courageous in the Lord. Stop playing it safe. Stop hiding. Stop giving into fear. God is not a God that gives us a spirit of fear. Get deep in prayer. Ask him what he would do in you and through you right now, because we're facing a time like never before. I love you all. God bless you. This is the Frank Sontag Show.